All right, what is up, guys? It is DJ Halfo here with my show Bizarro today. Now, I apologize for the stuffy nose. I caught a sickness, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but it has got my nose very, very stuffy. So I apologize in advance for any mispronounced words or anything due to my sickness. But thank you very much for tuning in on this wonderful Tuesday. It was raining earlier, but it now seems to be sunny over here in San Rafael. So thank you again for tuning in. Now we're going to get right on into the crazy and outrageous news stories for this week. So a man actually expecting quintuplets find out that his girlfriend isn't pregnant. So Paul Survey was expecting his girlfriend to deliver quintuplets. Her stomach swelled, she began lactating, and donations from neighbors and friends came in like rampant. "We were so happy," he said. "Even my parents were looking forward to having grandchildren." And it turns out that she's not pregnant. And so everyone's thinking, this story really, really doesn't line up. So the mother actually supposedly made it all up, and she's now being entered into a psych ward. And so what I don't understand is how she could be faking a pregnancy, like her belly got big and everything, but she wasn't pregnant. So I'm not sure how that happened, but apparently she was just entered into she's going under psychiatric evaluation currently, but there is no pregnancy. And it could have been that she had a disease called pseudodosiasis, and it's a condition where physical signs of pregnancy manifest, but there's no actual pregnancy. So that could have been a possibility. So that, I just think that's crazy. As a guy, I couldn't imagine being told that I was going to be a father, and then out of nowhere, just figure out I wasn't going to be a father. It's just, that sounds insane to me. I can't even imagine what they're going through right now. So it either looks like she faked it or she had that condition. It's a crazy situation, though. Absolutely crazy. So on to our next news story. This one is hilarious. This one, an officer of the Baytown Police Department in Baytown, Texas, actually got a ticket for parking illegally in front of an apartment complex. Now, what happened was the officer parked, went inside, did the business, and when he came back out, he realized that there was a piece of paper on his car. And so he was curious, so he picked up the piece of paper, and it said, "Hey, you parked illegally. Please pay $10 to the manager of the apartment complex." And so it actually turned out that a 14-year-old girl had written the note, and the officer had a huge laugh, and ended up, he didn't actually pay the apartment manager the $10. He ended up going halvesies with the apartment manager and got the 14-year-old girl a $40 gift card to Toys R Us, which I think is awesome. And what I think is kind of cool about this is the cop just kind of owned it. He was like, yep, I parked illegally, and paid the little girl. And I think that's so funny, because I think, because cops, a lot of times, I'm not an aficionado with the law. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do know that the cops can get away with a whole lot more than we can. So as far as parking, I'm pretty sure they don't have to worry about it too much. But I just love how this guy owned up to it and totally apologized and gave the girl $40 to Toys R Us, which I think is really funny. I think that's very, very cool. On to our next news story. This one is actually insane. Cocaine condoms were found, not cocaine condoms. That's not a new thing that I'm trying to mark up. But condoms filled with cocaine were actually found destined for the Vatican. German customs officials intercepted a shipment of cocaine destined for the Vatican in January. Weekly Bild am Sonntag reported on Sunday. Officials at Lezepeg Airport found 340 grams, that's 12 ounces, of cocaine packed into 14 condoms inside a shipment of cushions coming from South America. That is insane. And the package was simply addressed to the Vatican Postal Office, meaning any of the Catholic mini-states, 800 residents, could have picked it up. So that is crazy. That means someone in the Vatican is either dealing cocaine or has a serious addiction, because 12 ounces of cocaine is a ridiculous amount. That's tens of thousands of dollars worth of cocaine, which is a little concerning, because that's going to the Vatican. That's a church. I don't think they should really be snorting cocaine. That's a little crazy. So chances are, to me, it probably was some kind of drug. There must be a drug dealer within the Vatican, which is crazy. That is such a weird thing to think about. That, I mean, I know drug dealers are everywhere, but I wouldn't think that they would be inside the freaking Vatican. That is insane. That's like the church capital of the whole world. So that's nuts. That is absolutely insane. But no one was actually, like, no one, they set up a sting operation and everything, and no one came to pick it up. So they're guessing that they were informed early that someone had that they'd intercepted the package, and they just didn't come pick it up. Which, oh man, that's insane. I would have liked to know who did that, like who the person behind that was, because that is crazy. Oh man, I highly doubt it was the Pope, I'll tell you that. On to our next news story. There are moms out, New York moms that are outraged that a theater would offer free tickets to the new movie Nymphomaniac for babies. Now, what happened is there's a movie theater called Landmark Sunshine Cinema in New York, and they basically give parents an option to bring in their babies to movies for free, and it's a, kind of a theater full of parents with babies, so no one gets annoyed and everything like that, which is a cool idea. So they offer free tickets for the baby, and they're offering the free tickets for the new movie Nymphomaniac. And the problem with that is it is very, very, very sexual. It is incredibly sexual. It should have been rated NC-17, and it is not suitable for infants at all. Granted, infants probably wouldn't remember or anything. But the program was created to allow parents to see movies that they want to see, and they don't have to worry about getting a babysitter and something like that. So it makes sense in the long run. But as a parent, if I were ever a parent, I would never want to expose my infant to a movie like Nymphomaniac, where it is just sex the whole time. Because that, you never know what's going to happen, you know, because those images could be, like, forever scarred into that baby's brain. Even if it's only, like, 7 months old, it probably won't remember, you just might want to be careful and not expose it to those kind of things. So I totally understand why these moms are mad. But I don't think the movie theater was trying to just bring babies into this movie. I think it was just that they were trying to offer parents a way to see movies with their child. So it makes sense why they would have a program like this. Though for movies like Nymphomaniac, and they said the some of the previous ones that they've had were like 12 Years a Slave, which I recently saw, and it was pretty graphic. So I don't agree with them having letting them bring in babies to movies like that. I just don't think it's morally right, in my opinion, at all. But that's me, and I just think that's crazy how you could even do that. On to our next news story. A man named Jason Buchanan drank 10 Jaeger bombs, then started a bar fight, and then lit a trash can on fire. Oh my goodness. 10 Jaeger bombs in a row. So it turns out he went to the bar, he ordered 10 Jaeger bombs and had them all back to back to back. He had 10 of them straight in a row. And then when he was trying to leave, after trying to start a fight with the bartender, he was attempting to leave, someone tried to stop him. And that person that tried to stop him was 70 years old, or in the 70s. And he punched the 70-year-old man in the face. And that is just, you don't punch an elderly person. They are so fragile, and just, that is not a good thing to do. Ever, 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 ever. So he punched him in the face, and then, but he was blocked from getting out. And then, so he went to the other entrance where someone else tried to block him out, and he punched them in the face, too. And then when he left, he lit a whole garbage can on fire. I mean, what kind of... I understand you're drunk, but even if you're drunk, what part of any of that sounds great? You're punching people in the face and you're lighting a trash can on fire. Now, 10 shots of Jaeger is a lot to begin with if you had that in a night. But 10 shots of Jaeger back to back to back is just insane. Ugh, he must have been so drunk. That is ridiculous. I can't believe someone would actually do that. It just, I think bars should really, really cap people after. I guess there's no real way to see what people's tolerance for alcohol is, but I think after they, I think if somebody orders 10 Jaeger shots, I think they should be like, no, you can have like 4, 5, and then you'll be good. We'll see how you're doing after that. I think they should pace them. I mean, I guess $80 worth of liquor is a lot of money, but for saving people from getting punched in the face, I think it would be good for bars to limit their customers at first, at least. Because, I mean, who orders 10 Jaeger shots in a row? Just back to back to back. That's like deadly almost. Man, some people in this world are just absolutely crazy. All right, on to our next news story. A tax prep company titled 420 Services Incorporated was just raided for marijuana drug dealing. This is weird because I read this news story and I was quite surprised because when I see anything that says 420 on it, I just automatically think marijuana. Because at least in our generation, that 420, that number represents marijuana. I don't know why, but it just does. And so when you see a green sign that says 420 Multi-Services Inc., I would instantly think that is for marijuana. There's no question about it. And I'm looking at the picture of it right now, and it has a neon sign above it that says 420, and I honestly think that would totally mean marijuana. But apparently, they were just a tax prep company. And so clearly, police started investigating, because you don't call your tax prep company 420 Multi-Services Incorporated. And it turns out that when they went inside, they found 2 ounces of marijuana, and some customers had been purchasing marijuana. So that just sounds like a very, very stupid business plan, in all honesty to me. To think you could get away with calling your company 420 Multi-Services Inc. and cover it up that you're a tax prep company, and instead just sell weed out of it, that just sounds ridiculous. I don't see how that plan could have ever seemed like a good idea at all. Like, even in the slightest. there's some things in this world I will never understand, because that is such a stupid idea. I mean, it says here, police became suspicious on Wednesday when an NYPD narcotics officer said he saw 4 people with a Ziploc bag of marijuana inside the office. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty freaking suspicious. A search of the facility allegedly turned up 7 baggies with 2 ounces of weed, a pipe, and a metal grinder. Man, that is... that's not even smart. I've heard of some smart ways people have been able to sell marijuana out of, like, a drive-thru. I remember the Taco Bell near me actually closed down, near my hometown, closed down because if you set a certain order number, they would actually give you marijuana through the drive-thru. And they weren't caught for years. It took them, like, 4 or 5 years to catch them, which blows my mind. See, that's kind of a smart way to do it. But literally naming your company 420 Multi-Services Inc., I think is just, you're asking for trouble. Like, that's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So, this one kind of just weirds me out. This next news story it makes me creeped out. So a man in North Carolina went into a Walmart and pretended that he was a podiatry expert or podiatry student, and he was helping a woman try on shoes. He didn't even work there, and he was helping a woman try on shoes, and he said that he was a podiatry student and he could help her out. And I don't know how, because it doesn't explain in the news article. Somehow he ended up putting her toes in his mouth, and that just is so creepy to me, how he could do that. And then the woman freaked out and ran off and called the cops. So I'm just wondering how it even got to that point. If anybody came up to me in Walmart and was like, oh hey, I'm a podiatry student, may I look at your foot, I would say no, you may not look at my foot, I don't know you, you don't work here. That's weird. That is freaking weird. And apparently he was arrested, and they set his bond at $50,000 on the charge of assault on a female. and good, because you shouldn't be walking into Walmart expecting to suck on toes. That is just so... I do this show every week, and every week I am surprised at what some people will do. It's just unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. Thank God they got him, though, because that would be horrible to have a toe sucker on the loose. This next news story is very interesting, mainly because it's something I had never heard of before, but it has apparently happened in the past. A med school student is auctioning off her virginity to pay for her med school, which is very interesting, I think. That is, it's, to me, I think that's morally wrong. Personally, my belief is you should save that for someone you love or something like that, but I guess it's one way to pay the bills, and she's doing it in Australia, and it won't be charged with a prostitution or anything like that. And she says she hopes to net at least $400,000 from the bidding. Oh man, that is just so much money. And she's 27 years old, and she's clearly a virgin, and so she put up a website asking for bidders and everything, and the bidding goes live in the next week or so, I believe. On April Fool's Day. On April Fool's Day is when it goes live. And I think that is crazy. To me, that seems so morally wrong. But in the article, she says she grew up never thinking that sex was something that should be shared with... Not that it should never, but just wasn't necessarily something that needed to be shared with somebody you love. And personally, I don't agree with that. But, I mean, to each their own, I guess. That's so strange to me that you would want to do that. And if she gets $400,000, that's a substantial amount of money. Like, that is a lot of money. But it says here, money is my motivation, but by no means do I need the money. I'm pretty safe and secure financially, she said. Which is interesting. So you're just doing this for fun, I guess? If you're secure financially... And it said at the beginning she's going to just pay off med school exams with it, but if she was set and secure financially, why wouldn't she just pay for the exams with that money and not have to have creepy people bidding on her online? So that's really strange to me. That was definitely one of the more bizarre stories that I had for this week, because I just can't imagine somebody selling their virginity online. It's like eBay, but for creepy people. I don't know. That's just very strange. So, breaking news, police have access to the internet. A man uploaded a picture of himself smoking marijuana while flipping off the webpage of an officer. And I'm looking at the picture right now, and he uploaded it to Instagram. And someone obviously thought it was offensive and sent the picture to the officer. And, of course, the man ended up getting arrested because they set up a sting operation and they actually were able to buy marijuana from him, and they arrested him for drug dealing. So I just don't understand what part of this he thought was a good idea, because in the picture, I'm looking at it right now, he's holding some marijuana while flipping off the computer screen of the Richland County Sheriff's Department and has a picture of a sheriff on there. And he didn't expect police to be able to see that? I mean, that's just so stupid. How could you be so stupid to do something like that? Marijuana is illegal still. And I don't see how you could think that that was a good idea at all. Even slightly. Even... I don't know. It's just... It bugs me. It bugs me. It bugs me very, very much. Alrighty, guys, I think we're going to go into our first song break for today. I think I'm going to go back and play some Eagles for you, actually. New Kid in Town by the Eagles. It's one of my favorite songs out there right now. And not out there right now, but one of my favorite Eagles songs. And here we go. I'll be back after the break. Thank you.
hears talk on the street, it sounds so familiar. Great expectations, everybody's watching you.
That was the Eagles' New Kid in Town, one of my favorite Eagles songs. I absolutely love that song. But now we are going to go into the live music portion of this show. Only on radio.dominican.edu, you're listening to Bizarro with DJ Hafo. And this is the portion of the show where we talk about live music events happening around in and around the Bay Area. And today we're actually going to focus on Outside Lands, the music festival coming this summer. And I'm going to talk to you about the Eager Beaver tickets and the lineup that I would like to see at Outside Lands. And actually Bonnaroo posted their lineup, so there I might talk about that and see if there could be any correlations going on over there between those two. So for right now, I'm going to explain to you the confirmed lineup. There's only three artists that are confirmed to be at Outside Lands, none of which I'm particularly knowledgeable of, but the three that have been completely confirmed by the Outside Lands Twitter page are Likey Lee, Chromeo, and Tycho. Those three have been officially confirmed by the Outside Lands Twitter page, so expect to see those three there. If you're huge fans of that, they will be there. But I'm not a huge fan of any of those in particular, but I think obviously Outside Lands has tons of artists, an incredible amount. But Outside Lands, just a little bit more info on it in case you don't know. It is a music festival that takes place every summer inside of Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And I've been there multiple years, and it's never rained while I was there. I should really knock on wood for that one, because this year might be the year. But it happens generally early August-ish. This year, it's going to be August 8th through the 10th, and I cannot wait. I highly suggest everybody that you go. Tickets are a little pricey, and there's no camping on the site like a lot of other music festivals. But if you can snag a hotel or stay with a buddy in town, I would highly suggest going, because it has been one of the greatest experiences of my life every year that I've been, and it's just been an absolute blast. So how Outside Lands works, well, how the tickets is sold, are sold, is that they release these things called Eager Beaver tickets, and they release these tickets before the lineup comes out. And it's basically just about $30 to $40 cheaper than the normal ticket. And I always try to do this every single year, but I've failed to get them every single time because they sell out so quickly. So I talked to someone who is an expert at going to Outside Lands, and they gave me the tips as to how they ended up getting these Eager Beaver tickets every single year. So what you want to do is, if you have a smartphone or tablet, you have to go and download the Ticketmaster app. If you haven't already, update it. Now go and search for Outside Lands and hit the and star this year's festival. So it's kind of like favoriting that festival, so that way the Ticketmaster app knows that you want tickets for that event in the future. And so if you do that now, you don't have to worry about it when tickets actually go on sale. And open up the app and add your credit card information now, so that way when you're purchasing tickets, you don't have to fill out all the information and lose time. It's much better to do it now, because that's what I did last time, is I had to put in all my credit card information at the time that I was purchasing the tickets, and it totally messed me up. I missed my opportunity. So after you've added the credit card information, just close the app and hang out, because it'll notify you when the tickets go on sale. And I will say, we don't know the exact date that they will be going on sale, but it's generally like morning time, like 10 to 12 a.m. It's actually either 10 or 12 a.m. It's not even in between. They generally release tickets for concerts at 10 or 12 a.m., depending on if they're East Coast or West Coast. And so I would actually bet that it's going to be at 10 a.m. our time, because Outside Lands is a West Coast festival, so 10 a.m. is probably when they will release those tickets, and it's usually about a week or so before the lineup is announced, or if not earlier, actually. It could be about two or three weeks, depending. And tickets will actually go on sale, or the lineup, will be released on April 16th. So I'm guessing that Eager Beaver tickets will go on sale very soon. So again, if you want to get tickets a lot easier, I would get the Ticketmaster app on your phone or tablet. Favorite the Outside Lands Music Festival for this year. Put in your credit card information and just wait for the notification to come in, so you can just boom, hit a couple buttons, and you got your tickets. It's so much easier than going through the website or going through the Outside Lands website. It takes forever to do that, and I try to do that every year the past couple years, because I never knew about this little trick, and I never got the Eager Beaver tickets. And personally, Every time that I've tried to get the Eager Beaver tickets, I never was disappointed with the outcome. Like, granted, I always had to get my tickets after the lineup was released, but every time I would have just loved going, regardless of not knowing the lineup, because Outside Lands is such a unique experience. It's in San Francisco, but you're surrounded by this beautiful park. So you're inside San Francisco, minutes away from anything you've ever wanted to do in San Francisco, but you're in this beautiful place where you just get to listen to live music and have a great time with your friends. And it is just an absolute blast. Seriously, Outside Lands is probably one of the greatest weekends of my entire life. And it's so much fun. It is just so much fun. And they usually have pretty big name bands there. Like last year, they had Paul McCartney, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Phoenix, Nine Inch Nails, Cascade, Vampire Weekends, The National. They had Willie Nelson, they even had last year. They had a very great lineup last year. I'm hoping that they can keep up to par with last year's lineup, because that was incredible last year. But you never know. You never know. Sometimes they could have a poor lineup. I've actually never seen one, though. I've gone through the history of Outside Lands, and I've never actually seen a poor lineup go through there. Even when it was a smaller festival, they had great people. But I'm going to talk about the lineup that I would like to see there, or people that I would really like to see at Outside Lands. One of my number ones right now that I'd really like to see at Outside Lands, and I think it's a good possibility that they could be there, is Disclosure. Because Disclosure recently released an album, and they're going on tour right now. Because they released an album, and they didn't really get too popular. And then one of their songs called Latch ended up blowing up. I actually played it on last week's show. And so Disclosure is on tour right now, and so I think that is a definite possibility that they will be there in August. I think it could be... You never really know, but I think it's a very strong possibility, because the Outside Lands, well, festivals in general like to get hot and hip artists right now, so Disclosure is definitely one of those, so I would be very, very excited to see them there. The next one is Lana Del Rey. I would like to see her there. I actually have tickets to go see her on April 19th at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium, but I would love to see her again at Outside Lands, and I think that there's a definite possibility she could be there, because, she's on tour. She's releasing a new album soon. I think it's just perfect publicity for her to go to a festival in San Francisco. And I know she's a huge fan base in the Bay Area. In California in general, she's a huge fan base everywhere. But I know back where I lived in Sacramento and here, everyone loves Lana Del Rey. And so it's something that I really hope she ends up going to. The third one is Arctic Monkeys. I really, really think they're going to be there. I honestly can't wait. My girlfriend loves the Arctic Monkeys, and I listen to them all the time because she plays them, and I think they're a fun and awesome band. So I'd love to see them there, and I really, really think they'll be there, because they're on tour, new album out. It just makes perfect sense that they'd come through. And I looked at their tour dates, and they do not have any tour dates for in and around the Outside Lands time. So I think that would be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for them to come to San Francisco, and I'd love to see them live. Another one that I'd like to see is Lorde. I'm a little skeptical as to whether or not she will actually be here, because Lorde is coming to, or she actually came a few months ago to the Fox Theater in Oakland, so she's kind of already hit the Bay Area. Lana Del Rey will have, and so we'll have Disclosure, but I think Lorde played like 3 shows here, I believe. So I don't know. It's hard to say whether or not she'll come back for the music festival, but it's definitely a possibility. That's for sure. Broken Bells. Broken Bells is an amazing band. The lead singer's name is James Mercer. He's a wonderful songwriter. One of my favorite bands, and I honestly think they have a very strong chance of being in Outside Lands as well, because, again, new album, all that jazz on tour, and I think they're the type of band that would just rock a music festival. I feel like they would bring in a huge crowd. They would just play to the audience so well. They would connect on the audience on just a different level than a lot of bands can connect with, and I think that would just be so awesome to see them there. But again, these are not confirmed lineup people. This is what I would like to see there personally. I've got a few more to tell you, but I think it's a definite possibility. All these people that I'm saying are definitely possible to be there. None of them are for sure no. So that's cool because they all have like open tour slots at the times and everything. So I think all these people would be amazing to see live. Excuse me. Cut Copy, I think, would be amazing to see at Outside Lands. It's definitely one of those things. I don't think they've been to Outside Lands in the past, so there's always an opportunity for them to come now. I think they would make a great addition to the lineup. Glitch Mob. Glitch Mob is one of my favorite electronic trios right now. They are so... just their energy in their music is so amazing, and I can't wait to see them live sometime in my lifetime because I've already made a vow to myself that I will see them live at some point in my life. The Glitch Mob is just, they've got this artistic style about them that is just incredible. It's not like there's the heavy bass and the wah, wah, wah part of electronic music, which can be fun if you're into just, like, dancing your face off, but it's more melodic, and they have some of the harder drops and everything, but I think the Glitch Mob is definitely someone that I would really, really love to see. The Naked and Famous is someone that I'd really like to see there, too. I just saw them in San Jose with Imagine Dragons, and they were absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. And, they're on tour, so I would expect that they have a possibility of being there. Bastille. Now, Bastille is one of my favorite bands right now. They are so, so good. And especially their song Pompeii and Bad Blood. I love those songs so much. And so I really hope they'll be there. Again, I can't confirm anything, but these are just who I'd like to see. Bruce Springsteen, I'd really hope to see there because he's just Bruce Springsteen, and that would be incredible. And I believe he's on tour now again, so I think definite possibility. Outside Lands generally likes to bring in some kind of old artist for older artists for a headliner and then newer artists for a secondary headliner. Like last year, they had Paul McCartney and Cascade and Red Hot Chili Peppers. And Red Hot Chili Peppers is fairly old, but Paul McCartney is like the Beatles. So they had Paul McCartney and Red Hot Chili Peppers. So that was incredible, honestly. Seeing those two in the same event was just insane. Tiesto, I would love to see at Outside Lands and have him headline all the electronic music. Tiesto is a very famous DJ that I'm very fond of. And I think seeing him there would be a lot of fun. The Eagles is another group that is on tour right now, and I just played their song New Kid in Town. And I have seen the Eagles before in Sacramento, though I was kind of young, so I don't remember it all too well. But I think seeing them at Outside Lands would make for a great, great show. Alrighty, we're going to take one more break. That does it for the live music portion of the show. I had a lot of fun talking about Outside Lands. I love Outside Lands. It's one of my favorite events I've ever been to, and it's just an incredible experience where you get to hang out with your friends, listen to live music all day, eat incredible food, and it's amazing. All right, well, we will be right back after this song. We are going to play some Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. They're a crazy band. They have like 12 or 13 people in their band. They're a lot of fun. This is their song, Home.
Nothing please me more than you. Let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you. Home, let me come.
dark. Girl, I never loved one like you.
That was Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros with their song Home, one of my personal favorites. In all honesty, I love that song very, very much. But anyway, we are done with the live portion, live music portion of the show on Bizarro on radio.dominican.edu. So now we will move back into our crazy and outrageous news stories for this week. Honolulu police officers have urged lawmakers to keep an exemption in state law that allows undercover police officers to have intercourse with prostitutes during investigations, which obviously led to a very heated debate. Now, basically what they want is they want to be able to do more undercover investigating with prostitutes and all that kind of stuff, which, and they think that having intercourse with prostitutes would actually lead them to be able to get further and further along the line and catch more people and whatnot. And so it makes them more believable as undercover cops. Now, the big problem I have with this is that I see it becoming very, very, very abused. I think that this could go way out of proportion and I see it ending poorly. But the thing is I guess it makes sense that it would mean I just have such a moral problem with it. Like, how could you I don't know. It's just weird to me that you could actually do that to just get further along with a bust, and it blows my mind, because then these prostitutes are then like, well, how can I trust any cop after one just lied to me? So it just, I don't know. I find it to be a little bit ridiculous in my personal opinion, because I just see it getting blown way out of proportion. And because cops are a lot of times good guys, but there's a lot of cops in the world, and when there's a lot of people, there are bound to be some that are not great. And I know for a fact there's probably some cops that are not good and do not have the best intentions. There are so many cops in the world, at least some of them have to be bound to not have the best intentions. So I think with this, it could definitely be abused, and I do not like this whatsoever at all. They can further traumatize somebody. I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, and not all prostitutes are like willingly prostitutes. They're made to be, not made to be, but they're forced to be prostitutes. So I think this is just the wrong way to go about things. I think if they were going to do this, they'd need to do it by a case by case scenario, not just make it legal for cops to do that. So very, very weird news story, but I can't even believe that that's on the table. But hey, I'm not a cop. Don't know what I don't know enough about it. But anyway, next news story: a shirtless man with a gun tattoo wakes up surrounded by police. So what happened is this man, a man in Maine, actually woke up. He heard a bunch of tree cutters cutting down some trees outside of his house, and he walked outside shirtless to go tell them to knock it off. He was sleeping; he needed some extra sleep. And when he walked outside, one of the guys noticed. One of the tree worker guys noticed that he had a gun in his belt, and so he called the cops. And next thing you know, Michael Smith woke up to cops outside of his door yelling at him through a megaphone. So what happened is he has a tattoo of a gun, like a pistol, on his stomach, aiming towards down. Like, it looks like he could have a gun holstered in his pants, is the thing. And so the guy called the cops, and a bunch of cops came and asked him if he had a gun. And he said, yeah, it's on me 24 hours a day. It's tattooed onto my body. And so the cops kind of laughed, but there's nothing illegal about this. He was not arrested, so you can have a tattoo of a gun on you. There's no problem with that. It just looks wrong if he has a shirt off, which was probably the intent, to be honest. But he said he's never had a problem with it before. So I just think that's crazy that someone would actually get a tattoo of a gun, looked like it'd be holstered in their belt. But I don't know. People are weird. We've discussed that on the show probably about 1,000 times. People are very weird, and they do some strange things. Very strange things. On to our next news story. Circus elephants escape and damage parking lot cars. Authorities say three elephants escaped from their handlers at a circus near St. Louis and damaged several vehicles in the parking lot before they were recaptured. Now, there's not a whole lot to this story. I just thought it was hilarious because the image in my mind of three circus elephants running around just trampling cars is hilarious in my mind. But there's not a whole lot to that story, but it says they escaped from the children's ride section of Moolah Shrine Circus at the Family Arena in St. Charles. I just think that's hilarious. Can you imagine just a bunch of giant elephants running through a parking lot? I think that's, personally, that was very funny when I pictured it in my mind. So a suicidal man inadvertently saves another man from drowning. This story is very interesting. So a suicidal man threatening to jump off the bridge saved the life of another man when police and the Coast Guard came to help him, like, off the bridge and everything, but when they got there, they realized that there was a man in the water already. There was already a man in the water, and he was drowning. So they helped him out, and they got him out of there. So after they rescued the man from the water who was suffering from hypothermia and confused how he came into that situation, they got the other guy down. But I think what's just so cool about this is that the man who was going to take his own life ended up saving another's. And I think that's oddly poetic and beautiful in some kind of way. So I think, obviously, they got the other guy down too. So no one died. Everyone's safe. But I just think that's so interesting how life can work, is that a man was going to kill himself but ended up saving another man's life. It's oddly beautiful in a way. And they're both getting treated as of now and are on their way to recovery. So that's it's a happy ending to a story that could have ended tragically with two deaths, but instead it ended with zero. So that's very nice. Very, very nice. This one really, really makes me very, very angry. An Arapahoe County mother is accused of faking a six-year-old son's cancer and accepted $25,000 in donations. So a mother convinced her son that he had cancer and told everyone else in their family that he had cancer so that she could get money in for just get money, and they ended up going to Disneyland with that money. And so she, for one, that's traumatizing as heck for the kid, because the kid thinks he has cancer. And then they're taking other people's money so they can go to Disneyland? I mean, it just, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how someone could be that sick-minded to take money from other people for no reason other than to go to Disneyland. Oh, it makes me so, so angry. Oh my God. She was actually released from jail after posing a $10,000 bond. So, here's the problem with I have with this. Like, earlier in the show, I talked about the guy that sucked on toes for at Walmart, and he had a $50,000 bond. A woman who does... Like, that's just weird. A guy sucking on toes, that's just weird. That's just straight up weird. But the guy, that could be his thing, you know? He wasn't really harming anybody, you know? He wasn't... He was just doing toes. It was a really weird story, but this woman is just sick-minded. And she has a $10,000 bond. It's one-fifth of the toe-sucking guy. So that doesn't make sense to me. Our justice system does not make sense to me in all cases, because that's ridiculous. This woman faked her son's cancer so that she could go to Disneyland with her family. And they got $25,000 out of it. Obviously, all the money was returned. But I just can't believe that someone would actually go through with that. It blows my mind. Absolutely ridiculous that someone could actually do that. Some people are just sick in this world. It doesn't make sense to me at all. But you never know what people are going to do. So a man robs a bank with a chihuahua. So on March 14th at approximately 10:40 a.m., officers from Operation Division East responded to the report of a bank robbery that had just occurred at the Chase Bank located inside the Fry's grocery store. Upon arrival, officers confirmed that the suspect had fled the store and that no one was hurt in the incident. But it says that the man didn't even have a weapon. He robbed the bank, and it was an undisclosed amount of money, robbed the bank with no weapon, just threatening, and just so happened that he had a chihuahua, a puppy, in his basket. So, this is one of those things where it's not violent, it goes back to the crazy and outrageous news stories, the name of the show. It's just weird. It's just plain out weird. A man robs a bank with a chihuahua. A freaking chihuahua. Who brings a puppy to a bank robbery? That's just so strange to me. I mean, how does that even happen? What was going through his head? I got this puppy. I'm going to need to pay for this puppy. Might as well go rob a bank. Come on, Scooter. We're going to rob a bank. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me why you'd bring a puppy to a bank robbery. Again, people in this world are very, very weird. So I've talked about this, similar events to this occurring on the show. A burglar was caught after leaving his passport in his victim's house. So we talked about a man who lost his wallet and another man who left his ID at the scene earlier in the prior weeks of this show. And now we have a man leaving his full-on passport in the victim's house. So it says here, Robert Brenchen, a 31-year-old, stole game consoles, smartphones, cameras, jewelry, and more than 600 euros in cash from three properties in the space of 2 weeks. And his criminal career was cut short when the occupants of one of the homes stumbled across his travel document while cleaning his house. How do you even do that? If you're going to rob a house, don't you need to be, like, kind of an expert at it? I mean, apparently he's a drug addict. So I guess he's probably not an expert. He's just probably trying to get stuff that'll fuel his drug addiction. But how do you even leave your passport inside of a house? I never take my passport anywhere, other than the airport, and I leave it at home. Why would you leave it inside of the house you're robbing? I guess he was probably on drugs at the time, would be my best guess. And just didn't even realize he had it. But who even carries around their passport? I guess it's a good form of ID, but I don't know. Just absolutely crazy stuff. People are just insane. So, an update on the Malaysian flight that was missing, in case you have not heard. It was discovered yesterday that, that the Malaysian flight was actually over the southern Indian Ocean when it disappeared. So, they actually found out the location when it actually lost connection. The Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak announced Monday that, according to new data, flight MH370 ended in the southern Indian Ocean. The Prime Minister said that analysis by a British company has concluded that the last position of the flight MH370 was in the southern Indian Ocean. This is a remote location, he says. It is therefore with deep sadness and regret that I must inform you that, according to this new data, flight MH370 ended in the southern Indian Ocean. And that's so sad, because I was just praying. I was so praying that they landed in some remote location where no one could contact anybody, and that they'd be all safe and everyone would be fine. But it's no, unfortunately not. And it's amazing to me that even with modern technology that we can lose a plane. I can't believe that that's possible. But it is still unknown whether it was a hijacking or anything like that, but it just went down in the southern Indian Ocean and is probably at the bottom of the ocean by now. Which is very, very sad, because there's a lot of people on board. It's like 200 people on there, and that is just so sad. I can't... I really wish everyone had made it off that flight. Very sad. On to our next news story. A Georgetown student was charged with possession of ricin, possibly inspired by the show Breaking Bad. Now, I've seen the show Breaking Bad, so I know exactly what they're talking about. In the show, there's a poison called ricin that they use to poison a character in the show. And I had never heard of it beforehand, so I'm guessing that this student actually heard about it from Breaking Bad and ended up creating ricin in his dorm room. And after one of his friends found it, he reported him to the police, obviously, because ricin is poisonous and it will kill you. And so I'll read the story here. Daniel Harry Mislim, 19 years old, was able to produce the biological toxin in his dorm room and was turned into police by a friend. According to the court papers, the friend told authorities that Millsman was definitely a threat to someone. Millsman may also have gotten information about ricin while he was a member of his high school quiz bowl team. The U.S. District Court documents allege that Millsman used his considerable intelligence and skills to produce poison and engaged in some of the most nefarious and calculating behavior imaginable. It's very sad, because this guy was obviously a smart kid if he was able to produce ricin, and so he's going to jail for probably a very long time. Luckily, he did not kill anybody, but and it says here that it was possible that he may have been using it to take his own life sometime soon. So his attorney said he was tortured, he was having a hard time in his life, he was a scared 19-year-old kid. And according to his attorney, it said it was probably not intended for anyone other than himself, which makes me very, very sad. And now he's in a psychiatric program at Sibley Hospital. So stories like that are very sad, because either he was going to try to kill someone with it, or he was going to kill himself with it. Both scenarios are very sad, and it means you have something wrong with you. So I'm very happy he's now in a psychiatric program at Sibley Hospital. I hate to end it on such a poor note there, but it is now 5 o'clock. It is time to end the show. You've been listening to Bizarro with DJ Hafo here on radio.dominican.edu. Thank you very much for watching, and I will listening, and I will see you next week.